episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Now recording. This is Rick on Beer Told, episode number 33. Special episode. You know what's special about it? It's because it's number 33. There's nothing special whatsoever. I haven't even thought about what I'm going to talk about. He's just turning down his classical music, playing on the gramophone. Does anyone else call them gramophones? Because I don't. I just call it a gramophone then. Wireless gramophone, blah, blah, blah. The old days are all going. But they're coming back in some ways. There's a lot of people buying records again, which is fantastic. And can you believe it? Cassettes are coming back. Oh, look, to me, the most annoying, really bad. The music cassette, yes, you could stick it in your car. This is in the old days. There was 8 tracks before that, great big huge things. And then they had the cassette, but they unwound. You could have to rewind. It took ages. Da 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 da. Who would want something as useless as a cassette to come back again? Nostalgia only. Nostalgia people. Because I just think the sound was crap as well. Even though he says shutting a door. BASF had an advert with that famous black American singer cracking a wine glass. Allegedly, she could sing so high she could crack wine glasses. That's as vibrating, I guess. It's a fact. I haven't seen it, haven't done it before. I've dropped a few. I have dropped a few and broken them. But I haven't sung in a high-pitched voice to do so. Possibly Martha's coming in here. I'm not sure. He mentioned it. I said, yes, I will be on doing 33 tonight. At the moment, in the winter is... Sydney, apparently the weather's bad, right? But they said we have been, the amount of hype going on in the media, so obviously they've worked out the COVID one doesn't work, but weather ones do. So just like they did with Cyclone Alfred, they overhyped it and made you panic and shut the schools down all the way down to where I am. And it came in the Gold Coast and blew a few people's balconies over. And nothing else. A lot of leaks, etc., and probably, you know, garden equipment blowing over and trampolines flying through the air. But not a real underperforming global attack by the powers that be. It didn't work very well. Now, at the moment, they're saying bomb. It's a bomb. So the nuclear bomb is going on with DJT, Donald J. Trump. Blowing up nuclear busters. Last week's episode was the nuke liar, bunkum buster bullshit, whatever I called it. That's off the news now. Now they're saying, oh, they didn't blow enough up. Oh, no, he didn't manufacture. You've got to go and do it again. And these are the lefty type journalists on there. They're all obviously run by some certain group. I'll be talking about that certain group too and who actually founded them. That certain group being Zionists, which are getting a lot of bad press at the moment because of Israel and Palestine. Just be told, and Alan Watt, the great Alan Watt, did a whole show on this in 2007, explaining that the elite, British elite, which I say run the world, they built China up, subdivided India, subdivided... You're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Episode number 33, nothing special about it, just it's episode number 33 of Be Told. On the I didn't even say the date before, but I'll tell you the date now. It is the first, he says, turning over his calendar. Is it the first today? Yeah, Tuesday the 1st of July 2025, pinch in the punch for the first of the month. Great lunar cartoon up there. It says, what happens next is quite ordinary and very natural. Perfect lunar little cartoon. And there's a little man with a curly head with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 ducks walking along, and he's smiling, looking at the sign that says, what happens next is quite ordinary and very natural. Isn't that wonderful that he would have said that on the 1st of July 2025 when all this bullshit, which I've been commentating on social media. Oh, yes, I have. I said that BOM stands for boring, overhyped media bullshit. And I don't have been struck off or been kicked off yet, but I thought that was quite relevant. BOM, weather bomb, weather bomb. Now, if I'd believed and taken literally what I was told was going to happen to Port Macquarie and surrounds yesterday, I would have made my will out and been up on the roof, just putting waterproof, holding an umbrella up so the roof didn't get wet and leak. It did not happen. I mowed a lawn today. Yesterday they said end of the world level bomb coming from a low that's forming in the Pacific, and it was going to come sweeping in. Now apparently in the winter is, and down Rollo's way in the Hunter area, Newcastle Hunter area, it's bad. Now I have to verify that tomorrow when I actually have to drive through it, see if they're all dead there and drowned. But I'm going to hazard a guess to say nothing happened. Nothing happened. So the hyping weather at the moment. So you're getting it from all sides. You're getting the nuclear bomb. And someone's kid at the gym the other day, I was talking to you, they said, you know, they're talking about nuke bombs. And his mother said, where do you get nuke bombs from? She said, they're talking about at school. They're doing the same thing as they did to me when I was at school. You know, terrifying you that get under the desk. I'm not sure if they're doing this rehearsal thing, but they could well be. There'd be enough lunatic lefty teachers out there to start putting fear into children. And I said to the kid, I said, guess what? I'm going to tell you the best news you've ever heard. There's no such thing as nuclear bombs. And his mother goes, you know what? I actually believe that too. And I said, good on you. You're obviously a smart potential conspiracy theorist to join up the in the membership that I am. My conspiracy group that I'm going to start, the Royal Institute of Conspiracy Theorists. I haven't even made an acronym of that yet, but I will. And I'm going to have badges, medals, and you can join for free. You don't have to pay a cent. No paywall involved with the Be Told conspiracy, British Royal Institute of Conspiracy Theorists. Completely free. You get a free, what would you get? I'll think of something. So, yeah, no, total fucking overhyped bullshit, just like all the other rest of the news in the week. Now, yes, we do have some horrific weather events up here, engineered. I'll keep reiterating that, engineered weather events. Guess what? Would you believe it? New Zealand's, so we had Taree, Kempsey, all along the coast, Wingham, not far from me, their farms destroyed. Dairy products now are really hard to get. Not really hard to get, but there's a shortage of them for sure. He says, opening another beer. He's going to have to stop doing this. Sure, I think I need a break from this habit of mine, coming home and opening up a number of beers and chatting away. I had way too many the other night. Rick and Rollo show, episode number 37, I think it was. Was it episode 36 or 37? Joel came in. We did a fantastic quiz show. We had to guess the music theme songs to movies, which is something I'm not that good at, to be honest. I don't really like modern movies, and I really haven't seen enough of them, and I don't care about the themes because they all sound the same. John Williams wrote most of them. Even the Rocky one sounds like a John Williams one. Did he do Rocky as well? I can't remember. That was on the quiz. But I couldn't remember. I was listening to myself, and this is what happens when. So I'd been driving. So I probably had 4 or 5 hours sleep that day. And I was drinking from 5 o'clock, 5:36, say 6 o'clock, I opened up my first beer. And by the time 4 hours went past, the rate that I can drink, which is absolute Olympic record, they just go down like you would not believe. I was listening to myself and I was thinking, fucking hell, is it? It wasn't just the alcohol, I was just tired. And I'd said, Joel, I want to go, I'm finished, I want to go to bed. So I stayed on and you can hear me, blatantly easy questions getting answered. And I was taking about, it was like I was in slow motion and quite frightening. And it really made me realize the combination of tiredness and alcohol make you sound like an imbecile. Because Rollo, even though he was drinking more than me by then, way more than me, because he functions at a high level of alcohol imbibedness. Is that a word? Imbibedness. It is now. He was getting, I think he won the competition. He won the competition. I was winning when I was soberish, and then total alcohol destroyed me and being really tired as I was. But it was a really good show, and hopefully we'll do a proper one and I'll be a bit more prepared. But I'd rather have it not just music themes. I'll just have general music and movie questions. We need to find a I think I've got one here, actually, but I know all the answers on that one, so I need to get a new one. But Joel, if you're listening, I'm quite happy to do another show. I don't want to have this team thing again, though. It's like just have contestants, 1, 2, 3, 4, and much easier than having a whole team of people. Here comes the rain. I just said it wasn't going to rain. It's raining. Or is it a vehicle? No, it's a vehicle, so it's not raining. Now, what was I going to talk about? Oh, yes. Very interesting real history with Melissa today, where she's speaking by herself, and she's now got the talent. Takes a long time, but you get eventually, after doing loads and loads of shows, you get the talent where you can just talk to yourself, like I'm doing right now. And you don't need to have guests. You don't need to have anyone else. You can just talk off the top of your head and find a subject and stick to it. And she's done a really good one. And unfortunately, that she should have actually just played the original Alan Watt talk from 2007 when he took over someone's show in one of those RPS or what, one of those American shows that he used to appear on. And he talked about the history of Zion and who really is the bosses. And he's saying that they chose the word in brackets and in quotation marks, the Jews, because of their background and because of they're good at this and good at that, to come in and help bring in this new world order. So they were just brought in as subcontractors, we'll just say that, as I've always said and a lot of other good people. Subcontractors. Is it you, Martha?
Yes. Morning, Rick.
Hey, morning, Martha. Wonderful to hear your voice. Well, I'm just going to, I don't know if you listened to the last, I just shared it on recommended podcast, but it was Melissa reading a transcript of Alan Watt talking about how the elites of Britain, which is, you know, we're talking about the real, real rich people that brought in the, that were, you know, they had the scientific elite that were underneath them, but they came to the agreement that they were going to bring in the Jews. They founded Zionism and the Balfour Report came in. And it just makes so much sense. And because Lord Balfour said in his book, we have created a modern Ulster in the Middle East, which is what they did to destroy Ireland, is they create Ulster, which sounds like ulcer. If it sounds like it, it is it, you know, an ulcer and an Ulster. It sounds like a medical condition. But they put this little independent, completely doesn't get on with anyone else, right in the smack bang in the middle of Ireland, and created massive problems for many years. Now, they did the same thing with Israel. I've said this. It was the Jesuit that Jesuit spy, international man of mystery, Hockian, whatever his name is, that came in and ran Israel after the British, mainly it was British and Anzac troops kicked out the Turks out of Beersheba. Still in the news, Beersheba's being bombed at the moment again, allegedly. And so that just made so much sense to me. And if people would just listen to that, it's all written down in the Balfour Report. Lord Rothschild, so they brought the Jewish families were brought into, manage the money of the royal family. So that's for the Rothschilds. Mm-hmm. They've just got their name on it. But basically the people actually made that decision to lend them, give them all their money, are much bigger than them. And
yes,
as she said, the elites of, and oh, sorry, as he, she's paraphrasing him, but the elites of all cultures don't like the people underneath them. It doesn't matter if they're Indian, Jewish, African, whatever, but they've always got a group of elite up the top. They don't give a fuck about the people underneath them. They just need you to clean their toilets, basically, and make sure that they're someone's putting petrol in their petrol, at their service station.
Yeah,
that's all you're there for.
Yeah, yeah. Just skibbies for them, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, how have you been? I haven't spoken to you for 3 weeks. So how's life?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah.
Bonnie, Scotland.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, nothing much is happening really. Well, World War III seems to have been put on the back burner for another couple of weeks.
What do you think of Keir Starmer? Do you follow Keir Starmer and his he's incredibly unpopular from what I can work out.
Yes. He is, yeah. He was. He's not a very nice man, is he? But that's no surprise. But he's not really popular. How he got in? Well, we know how he got in. It was probably fixed. It was pretty rigged for him to get in.
He's got that look. He just it just reminds me though so much of V for Vendetta. This unpopular leader coming in and
he's been brought into the destroyer. He's ex-trilateral, isn't he? Commission, so he's been brought in.
A good friend of Jeffrey Epstein's as well. So there was a good.
He protected Jimmy Savile for allegedly, as we're told, for a good few years and kept that at bay.
Jimmy Savile was a procurer for the royal family, apparently. He had the keys to the back door of the.
He did. He
could drive in and walk in the back gate, and
he was the only man who could walk into Buckingham Palace. And I think, believe it or not, he used to help, didn't he? Princess Diane and Charles. He was their wedding marriage counsellor or some bullshit, something like that. So
can you imagine?
Yeah.
What a creepy,
absolutely
guy.
Incredible.
Now, you grew up with Jimmy Savile in your face nonstop. Now we never had him in Australia or New Zealand. He popped up occasionally if we were watching a British show that might have had.
He was on everything.
Jimmy will fix it.
And he did.
He was the host of Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
He was the guy that was with the Beatles all the time early in the day. He was the top DJ in UK radio on the mainstream thing. So he was the most in-your-face guy for pop culture ever.
100%, and really, he had no talent as such, really, and he made a lot of money. So, as you probably say, procuring children, I suppose, for
that's what it sounds
all
these, like.
All the elite, believe it or not, he was a wrestler as well for a few years before he'd done a radio.
That's fabulous. Yeah. I never knew that one.
100%. Yeah, yeah, he was on Saturday afternoon TV, so he'd done all that. So
I'll bring wrestling in because I mean, really enjoying watching. But I don't know why, but that Rhea Ripley, who's from South Australia, who's I've been saying she's all makeup and fake. Everything's fake about it. But so many people believe what she's doing, headbutting people. And I keep commenting. I say it's the worst. That is the fakest looking headbutt. But she needs some more coaching and fake headbutts. Wrestling is the proof that the people will believe anything they see on TV. But not all, but most people do believe that wrestling was a thing. And wrestling in England, if it had Jimmy Savile in it, then that's proof that all the proof you need that guy was.
That's true. That's true. You can Google it. Big Daddy and John Hayes, Jimmy Savile and all that. Yeah, it was a thing. So Yeah, he, I suppose he catered
more weight?
For all.
Did he have more weight on? Or was he wrestling?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, he was still a skinny little dude. But obviously, all the grandmas used to like the weekend wrestling. You know, my nan used to watch it, yeah, and things like that. So.
And us, we had big time wrestling in New Zealand on, and we had King Curtis and Ricky Martel and Steve something or other, and they're all Americans. A lot of Americans come over. It was a lot of Samoans and Islanders, and it was like every kid. I'm not kidding you here. Pardon the pun, kidding kid. Every child was watching that show on a Sunday afternoon and talking about it. And at school, at playtime, guess what we were doing? Running around and imitating these gonos.
Yeah, and me too.
Killed.
Yeah, exactly.
America took wrestling to a different level. And we'll say just literally on steroids, figuratively and metaphorically. They're all on the gear. They've got, and you had all these characters that were just... And everyone's childhood, most that you speak to, an average American that watch TV, they all know their famous, you know, Hulk Hogan and I'm going to say my favorite, Rowdy Roddy Piper. At least he went out and did something positive and became the
It was in the film, actor. Wasn't it? Yeah, they live. Yeah, and of course Donald Trump was in the wrestling
as well.
He was
massively involved. And that Mandela effect guy that apparently went around handing out, he was part of it as well, I think. I forget his name, the guy that was handing out the big checks or whatever. I think he was something to do with background of wrestling, or is it someone that sounds like his name? Anyway, but wrestling is totally it's so obvious to me or you or any normal awake person that it's all fake. The ring is literally a trampoline.
Yeah.
And they're doing some incredible stunt work, though. I have to give it to them that the things they're doing, but Rhea Ripley's come out, and it may as well be soft porn. It's like Xena Warrior Princess wrestling other Xena Warrior Princess with more makeup on, picking up each other with G-strings, you know, leather G-strings on, and doing like what looks like a 69 position over and over again all over the top. So it's got sex, it's got fake this and that, but it's got real
story, all the storylines and all the characters and the what they call the heels and the baby faces and all that, same as politics, isn't it? Same as everything.
Well, you just hit the nail right on the head. Then it's exactly, it is politics. So
we're given all the boo hisses. And people will say, oh, wrestling's not real, but they believe in politics, or they believe in, you know, what they see on the news, and you think, well,
I'm reading the comments now. I'm baffled though to see so many awake people now, and I do believe that over the top of your head, well, maybe not in Scotland, but there's an awful lot of chemtrailing lines in the sky over England at the moment, and I've seen some footage of a couple of concerts. Glastonbury just went off the other day. Rod Stewart, I mean, to me, Glastonbury was Hawkwind. Alt rock. Mm-hmm. It was hippies. It was alternate, you know, people at ley lines and Stonehenge.
Yeah, Wicker and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
Wicker. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, it's turned into Rod Stewart coming out and singing Maggie May in a bright green outfit.
With Lulu was about 80, and it was just like a Darby and Joan club. It was just absolutely disgusting.
It's what the fuck is going on?
And obviously now that the news psyop in this country is that band Bob Villain, was it? I don't know if you've seen that. They've said Bob, you know, Villain. death to Israel and all that shit, and all the middle aged white left wing Guardian readers were chanting back, and you just think, it's just, if it's on the BBC, it's run by the government. You know, it's meant to be there.
So this is the whole wrestling thing, and so what explained it 20 years ago, where he said that Britain is running and founded and formed Israel, probably with Vatican behind it, etc. Right, and they've created this bad guy that everyone hates, Boo-hiss Israel or Boo-hiss the Palestinians. And so you're watching this worldwide wrestling match going on nonstop over in Israel and Middle East, and you're cheering on, you know, Donald Trump's come out dressed, you know, in a spandex outfit or whatever, basically. And, you know, and he's offering, you know, it's exactly like watching a world WWF SmackDown.
Yeah.
But in the Middle East.
Yeah.
You're listening to
After the Break.
Be Told After the Break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
It's the first of the month, the 1st of July 2025. Are you in the first of the month? You would be, of course you are, in England.
Yeah, first of the month.
Jesus, 7 months. Isn't that, look, oh my God, look, honestly, like I keep saying this every year, but the years are going faster. This is at a new level. This, yeah. Like it was Christmas, it was only Christmas last week, literally,
yeah.
Or it felt like yeah. it. And now we're now 4 months away from the Christmas decorations going back up again.
Yes.
Or less.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that soon. Yeah.
I'm telling you, we will. And again, I'll predict because of all the nuclear bullshit and the bomb, weather bomb, whatever bomb stands for that they're using for weather, my claim is some boring, overhyped media bullshit. That's what it stands for. That sort of weather bombers. And I'm looking on Facebook and no one is buying. So there's 50 comments after a news hype of a giant weather bomb that's coming and everyone's going to be destroyed. Mm. There is at least the first 70 comments are, this is bullshit, you know, we're not buying this, blah, 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 blah. Or it's being engineered. There's a whole lot of people saying this is, you know, deliberately done. And there's a few comments going, oh, you know, bless everyone, hope everyone's going to be safe, sending prayers. Mm. You know, but majority of people are not buying any of the Middle East stuff, whatever. So they must be flummoxed up above or they know what they're doing.
Nobody is talking about it in this country. It's on the news, but it's not like COVID, you know, talking about the Middle East or anything. It's just passed them by. It's out the news now, so it's forgot about. This next few weeks we've got Oasis coming back.
I did agree with I'm making some noise here. I did agree. Noel Gallagher came out and said that Glastonbury's turned into a
political
political whatever, yeah. which it is, yeah. And always but it always has been.
Yeah, cool.
But he's 100% correct.
Yeah. Their first concert is on Saturday, I think, in Cardiff. So we'll have that for the next 7 or 8 weeks, and so everything will be forgot about. You know.
Yeah. Their hype, which is a very undeserved, is not working over here because there's apparently loads and loads of seats left at their three concerts or four concerts. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But ACDC,
it's going to be mental.
Oh, no, for sure. But it's nostalgia, and that's what they always plug right at
the... We're going back to the 90s. We had weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction last week from 1992. 33 years later, we've got Oasis back, you know, and the 90s are back. It's going back in time, isn't it?
Yep, that's WOMAD. So it's interesting that acronym, WOMAD, because there's festivals over here called WOMAD, and, you know, weapons of mass destruction, that's... There's obviously a there with that word. I haven't added it up or subtracted anything, but Oasis, it's a nostalgia trip for so many people because they were a band that came out at the right time, about 92 or 3 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a lot of these guys are all my age and they came out, they didn't become famous till in their late 20s or early 30s. And they're all now hit well into their 50s. And
only 60-odd, yeah. I don't believe that backstory. Yeah, he is. I don't believe their backstory at all. But they were brought in for whatever reason.
They turned up at the right time. And you know, they were flogging very expensive jackets and very expensive shoes and very expensive, you know. Just look at their clothes that they were wearing and their haircuts. You can't just go and walk into a hairdresser and say, I want... You know, everything was style. It was like a clandestine version of 10 years before, where you had the New Romantics, which were copying straight off Roxy Music, and having this really stylized, expensive clothes and haircuts and stuff. But just because they were playing heavy
rock. That was my era, 100% my era. That was Oasis, I was 17.
A 200 like a 100-pound haircut, wearing a 200-pound jacket from
shoes.
We all followed them.
And Tony Blair come in that time. So we had the Cool Britannia and Tony Blair.
Who was hanging out with Tony Blair? The Gallagher brothers, or one of them anyway. Hardly what you call a rebel when your mate's Tony Blair, who would have to be one of the most duplicitous, nasty, sleazy little men ever in politics. And that's saying something.
Horrible.
That is saying something. For me to say one of the biggest, Tony B. Liar. It's interesting that now I'm supporting Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling.
Oh, J.K. Because
she's at least she's bravely saying the obvious. There's only two genders, and getting absolutely fucking literally attacked left, right, and centre. But all of a sudden, my views on her have changed 100%. Is she just doing it deliberately? Maybe she really means it, mate. Because she's a feminist.
I think she probably does. And she's right. What she says, but again, she's being cancelled and being, shut up.
Cancelled, what you would whatever. You would not believe. So how's the weather? Are you warm now? Finally?
It's been good. Yeah, it's been good the past couple of weeks. A little bit grey for a couple of days, but temperatures have been up. London has been particularly warm, 30 degrees, but obviously it's, we're not allowed to be out in the sun and enjoying ourselves. We've got to be... Oh, it's the hottest year from since records began. You think, well, it's the summer. It's unseasonably warm.
I'll verify that when I was in London in 22 years ago now, I think, approximately, it was 38 degrees on some days. And London, I was in the underground several times. And for me, this is like normal. I'm roaming around. With a singlet and shorts and those hiking sandals on, with a bag on my back, with a bottle of water. All I could smell was coconut deep tanning oil everywhere, including going up the Tower of London. I remember thinking, this is not right. Why am I smelling coconut deep tanning oil as I'm walking up the Tower of London? And I had to touch the walls, which are all made of flint rock, to go, is this a film set? Because after spending many times on film sets back in the day, I used to have to go and touch them, particularly on Dark City and Matrix. They built these what were perfect walls of an outside. And they use a special stuff that's like foam, but they make the foam go hard and they spray a different colour on it. So it looks like bricks. You'd swear to God it was brick until you went up and hit it. As I was climbing up the Tower of London and I could smell the stuff, I had to go and hit the walls to make sure I wasn't walking into a film set, which a lot of people would possibly say you were, but I don't think so because...
It's real. I've been there.
It's a beautiful area and very
amazing,
nice.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And the light, when I went to Anne Boleyn's, it was something to do with Anne Boleyn. It was at some temple, or not temple, it was where she was sentenced.
A cell, a prison cell.
A cell. Yeah. But the light in there was so amazing, and I've said it on another show or whenever. But I got I forget the name of the military group that protect the area, but they come and said you've got to go, and I went, I just want to stand here because there was incredible light that you don't often see coming through these stained glass windows. It was something to do with Anne Boleyn's. If it was her cell, it was pretty upmarket. I mean, very flash. So it might have been where King was it King Henry VIII.
The last two people who were imprisoned in the Tower of London were the Cray twins.
Were they?
Yes.
Were they put up there? Far out, man. You can tie them in with a whole lot of other dodgy things. And they were up there with, actually, I've got a really interesting conversation here about the Cray twins. And grunge, I read, and I wouldn't recommend it, but it is interesting for what I've picked up out of it, is a book called A Liar's Autobiography by Graham Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
And but apparently the Cray twins were also procurers and supplying elite, mm-hmm. the high-level pedophiles with young boys. That was one of their things they were doing. This isn't conspiracy theory I'm talking here. This is like quite
well known. Blackmail. Blackmail, isn't it?
That's right. And they were doing it. And they were they were part of another group that were running them. But in Graham Chapman's book, because he wasn't just a homosexual. He was a raping homosexual, and he was one of the very first members of. He set up the he was gay lib, I think, and gay pride.
Monty Python,
Graham Chapman. The guy that played Brian and the King Arthur. Yeah. Fantastic, funny guy, but deep, dark secret of that he was really badly affected. He was not just homosexual, but he was like into all sorts of stuff. And he'd given up alcohol and he got onto amphetamines or probably meth back then. So he was, if you ever see an interview and the way he talks, you know that he's off his head. But in the book, some gangster guy turns up with a young guy that he's from, an Irish guy. And they ended up him and his husband, David something or other, adopt this guy. And he's now officially, if you look up Graham Chapman, his son. He adopted at 15 or 16. A bit strange, I'll just say that. But that was a gangster, came around and dropped off this kid to him. And I thought, I wonder, this will be, if you look at read the book, it's still out there. And it was actually written more by Douglas Adams from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy than him. Mm. I think there were two or three other authors as friends, because he was so off his head, he couldn't get it together to write his book. So he had three other guys doing it for him. And Douglas Adams was one of them. But there's the fact that he was like, had young guys dropped off by underworld figures to him. And, it said, he was a young Irish guy and he'd been, his parents had, when they found out he was gay, had abandoned him and blah, blah, blah. And they actually adopted him legally, which is, to me, I have alarm bells ringing left, right, and center when I read it, despite the fact he's a, very funny guy, but. Dark secrets, obviously, and it's quite obvious if you read this book. There's a that fits in with this Cray narrative that they were running,
brothels and all sorts, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was illegal then. Yeah, it was illegal then. So you get trapped. You trap people in that world, and you can control them.
Yeah, and, Cliff Richard was named in that.
Yeah,
as one of them, he got exonerated. You'll notice there's photos of Cliff Richard doing the 666 the eye quite regularly. I think he was probably told to do that so that let people know who.
And I think there's pictures of him with a black eye as well. So nowadays in the
really,
that's
another one. The only person that only big time person ever not to be photographed with a black eye was the Queen of England. And they always said there was rumours saying that she was the one smashing him over the head with some kind of ceremonial candle to say. Because, this is just too big a thing that you just Google popes, presidents, politicians, actors, and they've all got the same black eye on the same side of the face.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a there.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
So, and also, have you been back to England or you've just been spending the whole time in Scotland?
No, I've been in Scotland. We're going to Croatia in 2 weeks' time, so we've got to fly from London. So we'll travel down to London and fly out from Gatwick, and then we'll be back down in London in the September. So, mostly been in Scotland. So
annual pilgrimage
usual 2 weeks away in the sun.
Isn't it amazing that it seems only to be last week that you went there last time? And I said,
I know. It's great. It's mental, isn't it? You're right. That was almost a year ago that Trump pretended to get shot.
Exactly, yeah.
So and I don't know if there's anything significant coming.
Well, this is another thing. Someone today, it might have been you I was talking to, I was saying that there's so much that in the media that, you know, the media slash Netflix type shows that are insinuating that he's going to get, you know, assassinated. And even the little old lady that I work for one day, a few hours a week, she's 90, right? And she said to me, he's going to get shot any day now. She can tell that he's going to get shot just by watching the news, but she's kind of awake as well and really smart. We have some great conversations.
I think he'll be. I think he'll be retired. He'll exit stage left. Brendan, I think.
Well, exactly. Brendan, I'm going to have to say, like, I don't trust anybody, but he actually does say some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know him. I've seen him before, so I don't know.
He was around big time. He was always on the run, hiding in. He was on the run, hiding in Indonesia quite a bit. Like, I mean, if they really wanted to stick, you know, do a double tap in the back of his head with the .22 while he was sitting in a car, they would have done it. So maybe he's making it up. But everything he says, though, seems to be quite legit, and he's quite convinced that they're just going to – he'll get shot, retire, he'll survive, and just go exit stage left, and then he thinks that Tulsi Gabbard's going to come in.
Tulsi Gabbard, yeah.
Now, this is highly likely because it will be a female that replaces Donald Trump. Just to please
I think so. Yeah. It will be. Yeah.
Now, I thought it would be, even though apparently she's so, and she is so inept, but I thought it was what's her name? OCD. I was going to call it OCD, but what's her name that South American good looking one, the politician? She's a South American y looking, not, there's Tulsi Gabbard, who was ex military.
Oh, well, there you go.
What was her name? She's got a three-barreled name. Why can't I remember it? I'll do it. I'll do it now. I'll just look it up. I'm sorry. We have to do this because otherwise I'm going to look like an idiot. Why do I have to use internet to do it, though? I'm using AI, technically. Is it OCD? What's her name? American politician. This is as bad as listening to me talking with Rollo, losing the competition on Saturday night.
Got that. Yeah.
It was too much beer and OC. It's AOC, sorry. I did it without it. I just remembered. AOC, Alexandra or something Cortez, AOC. Cortez, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, the fact that.
Oh, I know the one. Yeah, it's never. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never.
Okay, there it is.
Sorry,
here it is. Yeah. It's so Alexandria Ocasio Cortez. She was known as AOC. Now, how many other politicians have you ever seen with three? You had FDR, you had JFK, and you've got this thing that's coming in. And I think that just the fact that she's got a three-barrel name would have to mean she's going to become something in the future. Now, is this going to be after there's a civil war in America? And they'll say, because there's going to be so many Mexicans and all sorts over there, they'll vote. They'll absolutely think that she'd be the greatest person ever. She is known as AOC. Now, again, you do not get three-barreled acronym names for no reason. They're always there for a reason.
You can trademark that.
AOC,
trademark.
FDR, JFK, AOC. So whether Tulsi Gabbard, because I actually said back in 10 years ago, eight years ago, I said, this woman is going to be big because she's Tulsi. Have you ever heard of anyone ever called Tulsi before? He always went either an acronym or a name that no one else has got. And the name Tulsi Gabbard, it's just an unlikely name, but I would say it's created for a reason. So O'Connell could be 100% correct with this.
Pretty valid idea by the sound of it. Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Well done, Rizmat Jeff, because I've forgotten all about him, to be honest.
Yeah, never seen him before.
Mm. Well, if you look up, there'll be nothing but bad things. You're listening to Be Told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
The Art of Condensation, Be Told, episode number 33 with special guest star Martha, all the way from the Bonnie Hills of Scotland. And Rick here on the 1st of July 2025, episode number 33. So, yeah, so back to American politics. It's wrestling for sure. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And same with your politics. But I just think it's, you know, I read Private Eye whenever I can, especially while getting the train. And there are so many stories of corruption and stuff that is not on our media that Private Eye publish. They are very left of centre, kind of, or a bit dodgy, but they were formed by Peter Cook, who was 100% child of intelligence aid. He, you know, bureaucrats, or what do you call them? You know, his father was, you know, he grew up just like, you know, the Clash, what's Joe Strummer, bullshit name. The guy grew up in the flashiest houses all around the world because his father was what you call a British diplomat. And
and
when you say the word diplomat, just read MI5 or MI6. It's MI6, I think, is a foreign. And so Joe Strummer, backstory.
Yeah, they went to Westminster. Went to Westminster School, private school. Yeah. They're not
working
class. Yeah.
But you know, when you hear, that's why I like Steve Jones and Cook and stuff like that. When they talk, you can tell these guys grew up on the streets. And when I hear Joe Strummer trying to talk like that, I go, this guy is faking his accent.
Yeah.
None of that accent is real. And so, you know, I can bring up Joe Strummer before, but this whole your icons, you know, that you've got that, you know, you listen to, and I know so many people. This is just again fits into the wrestling thing. People that believe that wrestling is real, they believe their rock stars are real, and there's only a handful of rock stars I will hold up as being real. Lemmy, fantastic, guaranteed, and he's dead now. No surprise. Mm-hmm. Strummer started to say things. Later on, and guess who's not around anymore? Because he was a loose cannon. Because he would have easily been. Because he started going about Sandinista and around the Iran-Contra era. He was over there playing music and all these little South American satellite states or whatever, getting awfully friendly with, you know, other people. And next thing you know, he's gone. You know, and so same with Bob Marley, whose father was in the Navy, it was military, navals, you know, son of a Navy guy. They don't bring that one up very often.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Oh. Yeah, so, you know, he probably went to the same holiday houses as Joe Strummer.
He's probably educated in bloody, in England, probably, private school.
But he did, to be honest, he did say some good stuff. I could not stand. I'm not a big fan of Bob Marley, but some of his earlier stuff, it was introducing, just like martial arts, Bruce Lee was the guy that was bringing China and so you get used to seeing thousands of Chinese everywhere and dojos and dragons everywhere. Bob Marley was doing it for West Indians, you know, so and incredibly popular, huge in New Zealand. Like when Bob Marley played in New Zealand, you're talking about almost, you know, everyone that could get to that concert went there.
Really? Wow.
It was huge. Oh, it's just phenomenally big in New Zealand. Not to some, you know, the very popular band, the Black Power, was it Black Power? Yeah, the Black Power Gang were all reggae. And Bob Marley was just massive. And I couldn't stand any of his top 20 hits. Like, they just depressed me just hearing them. But
yeah, reggae for white people. So it was, wasn't it?
Exactly what the police, regatta de blanc, you know, the reggae for white people.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And then before you go, we have to talk, this fake accent bullshit that just drives me mental. All these posh English kids, they're all speaking, speaking with this full-on West Indian accent.
Yeah, it's an awful, that is the new English, that's a new English accent. That is
the new English accent, yeah. So it's not Esperanto. Yeah, it's awful. And you'd hear it all the time.
Yeah, terrible. Now, I just hear As I said to you before, even, you know, on the television, news readers or adverts, they all talk like it as well. Even on the BBC and Blue Peter, you know, Blue Peter, they got a couple of black kids on that presenting it.
Yeah, and I talk heard like a journalist on the BBC World Service the other day, early in the morning, and I thought, oh, she's probably, maybe they got a West Indian. No, she was white.
Yeah.
And she was talking in this, what do they call it? Like, it is awful.
I don't even know what it is. It's the
dumbing down of the English language. I'll just say that. Yeah,
100%.
And that beautiful.
It's accent. It's not an accent. It's just a way of talking, which means you don't have an accent anymore.
We're going up there, bruv. I'm going out there, bruv. And you think, it's probably a black kid. No, he's very white. And then the Clash helped us, though. The Clash, they were there. And even some of those, you know, the Gary Clale sound system, you know, there were white guys bringing in black musicians and playing some fantastic music. But all of a sudden, the kids thought, no, I better talk like the black person, not like, you know, the white guy. And they do it. And New Zealand's full of it now. And like, there's a guy that just fought the other day. And he is, I would guarantee you, I've got more Maori in me, and I don't know that I've got any, but I'm going to say I would look way more Maori than this guy. And he just got, he's come out and he's only a little bloke, and he's, you know, this is the massive big UFC, you know, this is one of the, but it was a featherweight probably. But he's pulling his hair back and sticking his tongue out, because if you ever see the haka, when they stick their tongue out, that is what, when they decapitate, if you decapitate or kill someone, the tongue comes rolling out and their eyes are wide open. When you see that face where they got their tongue out and the eyes wide open, that is what a dead body actually looks like if you cut its head off. Mm. The tongue folds out and the eyes are staring open. They're not shut. That's why it's very interesting that fake nukes, Phil and a number of people, I think even IPS, that seem to have dealt with dead people before, have said the eyes do not shut; they are wide open when you die and they have to be closed.
Which is probably why we used to put pennies on their eyes, because their eyes were
exactly. That is actually exactly why they did. Why they did. Yeah. So when you see on your news reports of Palestinian children being blown up by an Israeli bomb or vice versa, and they're lying peacefully with their eyes shut, you're watching staged, kids protected, just lying there with their eyes shut. Guaranteed, 100%.
Again, I don't know about over there. That's gone quiet now. The Israel war is, Ukraine's gone quiet. You know, Indian plane crashes have all gone quiet. It's literally in and out of the news within a day, and it's all forgot about.
Do you actually troll the... go on and look at the news or watch TV or see what they're saying.
No, if the radio is on in the car or in the background at home, listen to the radio, it will come on and I listen to a couple of minutes and just laugh at how stupid it is. But I gauge it by what, as far as I would say, you know, COVID has to be the actual, that's your gauge, isn't it? If people are talking like they were 5 years ago, then you know they think it's real. If they're not talking about it, then they're not bothered. They've got other shit to worry about, you know.
I had another conversation tonight with a girl that's possibly going to buy the gym I go to. Great, she's Canadian. She's into conspiracies and stuff. But I said to her, "Did you take the vax?" She goes, "Yeah, I had to." And I said, "Well," she goes, "I had to get the job at the gym down the road. So just, you know, I just had a baby, and you know, I needed a job." I said, "Well, you probably didn't need to get that job."
Yeah, didn't need to.
But this is the problem, and this is what, and I mentioned it last week. Everyone I talked to that took it, they said, I had to do it for work. I had to do it. They made me do it. Now, did they actually drag you into that room, kicking and screaming, and jam that thing and, you know, force it into your arm? No, they did. You walked in there and took it. And this is going to feed in with, and I do believe there's a big there. I will mention before you go, my good mate of mine, Dino, contacted me yesterday. I hadn't spoken to him for ages. And his new thing, he's just discovered, to his horror, that natural flavouring that's on, and he said he went into Woolworths to buy his food. He said he could not buy anything that his child would want, his son, that doesn't have this word natural flavouring. And then, you know what natural flavouring is? It is human kidney cells tricked into whatever to make a flavouring. Why is this in all the food? Why is this everywhere? Mm. And he said he's got the quote from the Rockefeller group where they said they're going to make, I forget which paper it was, that, you know, we'll make them eat each other. You know,
cannibalism.
Exactly. Mm. Now, this natural flavoring is an, natural flavoring is the same thing they got accused Pepsi of adding. It is it comes from human kidney cells. Why? They call it natural flavouring. I'll tell you why. Because it sounds fantastic. It's a
to make people buy
word.
It.
Guess who would fall for that? Me. I am a sucker for organic or natural flavouring. I go, fantastic. Now I knew, and it's called HBV or something around natural flavouring. It is the kidney cell. So it is the thing. So, and just go into your supermarket.
Hello? Rick? Silas? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Silas. Hello, Rick's disappeared. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there, yeah. Yeah,
I got.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, Silas speaks. Welcome to the BTOL 33.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to hear your voice. And it's kind of a tie-in because Martha's in Scotland and you were in Scotland as well. So there's two Scottish people in episode number 33.
Well, one Scottish person.
One Scottish. Doesn't matter. Look, you're in Scotland. Why not?
And well, indeed. Silas,
whereabouts are you again in the bonnie hills of Scotland?
I'm near Edinburgh. I'm near Edinburgh.
Beautiful. Do you go there and do you go under the grounds and look at all those strange things that are under the main streets?
Oh, in Edinburgh, I've pretty much explored most of Edinburgh now. Yeah, my fiance's actually from the centre of Edinburgh, so I'm always there.
Oh, fantastic. Martha, have you been to Edinburgh and have you been down underground? I have to ask you that.
I have been to Edinburgh many times, not as much as Silas, but it's an interesting place.
Can you explain why they built on top of, instead of demolishing and just like they normally do, and they've actually still got underground streets and shop fronts that were there 100 and something years ago? I can't explain it. I just want to hear someone give me an excuse why they would have done that and not demolished it. Is this mudflood?
I think the official reason is that, in essence, there was some sort of zoning laws, you know, in antiquity or I don't know, 500 years ago or so, where it was viable to do that. Based on the laws and such at the time.
Well, you've seen those, you know, you've seen and you will see it in England, buildings with their windows bricked up because of the laws that they bought, I think it was
window tax.
Window tax, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, yeah. There's still buildings in Edinburgh with their windows bricked up.
Yeah. Because of what king was it? Was it not Victoria? It would have been Victoria's father or whoever he was.
Albert.
Or whoever told him. They all just tax windows. Can you imagine bringing out a tax on windows? It's like police. You know, I mean, but the ludicrousness of it, and apparently it happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you never know. It might make a comeback.
Well, isn't it poll tax and room tax? There is a room tax in England at the moment. If you're not using your room,
yeah, we have the council tax. Yeah, that was based on the size of your house and how many rooms you had.
Well, I'll say this, only in England. Over here, I don't know if they could get away with that, but they probably could. Anyway, Silas, how are you? And welcome to Be Told 33.
Yeah, I'm well. Yeah. I have a couple of days off so before I head to Portugal. So, yeah.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. And have you got a planned itinerary, or are you just going to go over there and chill out?
Well, it's basically wherever Armin goes. He's putting me up as well, so
I leave the itinerary
to him.
I don't see him. Is he around? Look, he's not as prolific. He came in and was everywhere, and then he's disappeared, kind of. And he did pop up in a comment or two a while ago. I saw him commenting to Frank, but he.
I think he's been pretty busy. I think he's got a new, as we say in Scotland, a new bird. So,
you never see him then. That's it. He's now.
Old ball and chain. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, so you said you're not talking to them conspiracy theorists, Armand. No, you're not. No, you're not. You come to bed now. Go and make me a cup of tea.
He's a changed man.
Well, that's why you've had me non-stop for 7 years because I've stayed single. Because I know for a fact that if I had a partner, they'd be saying, what do you want? Why are they more interesting than me? Are they better than me, are they? This is what would happen in an average relationship. They'd say, who are you talking to? Are there females on there? Are there females on there?
What do you talk about? We don't talk about anything, really.
Congratulations, though, Silas, I hear you've got it. So you're saying you're engaged to marry. Fantastic.
Yeah. She's pretty easy, Ozzy, though. She doesn't give me a bollock in for being a registered conspiracy theorist.
Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Hey, no, not all bad. I was talking about this the other night. I said there are wonderful, it's fantastic. If you can find a person that you can be with and you can still have your own mind and keep an independent thing, or they can join in and do whatever, like a couple of people on the Truth Meets site Verilicious and D-Train, they were there talking as a couple. Fantastic. It's not easy to do, though. I'm going to have to tell you now, very few people ever meet anyone with the same proper brainwaves as they have. And if they do, definitely get engaged, Silas. You've done the right thing. She's forgiving you for talking to strange people online. Fantastic.
Exactly, yeah.
And she's from the same area. How did you meet in the – not an online one. Was an online one, because that's what they all do now.
It was online. Typically, before COVID, I would meet them in bars and that, because I was gigging with the band and that. So,
when you're in the rock music industry, there's no effort needed. If you can play an instrument and you're in a, you look out and see someone batting their eyes at you, fantastic. But look, more power to you, and fantastic. So, when's the date? Have you made a date? 9/11. Is it 9/11?
Oh, no date just yet. A couple of more years before that.
He's got to save up. He's going to university.
I didn't know that, Silas. You're going to university, are you?
Aye. Yeah, September. September time. And also, I need to spend a bit more time with her, living with her, to see if her tendencies line up with my expectations.
I've got a lot of experience in this, I'll just tell you now, a lot of experience with multiple different females, and living together does make a big difference. There's no doubt about that. And just being in each other's faces. I'm telling you this, though, do never, ever, ever work with your partner. Have nothing to do. Make your business or your income completely separate, so you've got something different to talk about, because it is not a good thing. I've seen great couples buy a business, cafes particularly, and they split. 6 months into it, maybe a year into it, they work together, they're screaming at each other. You're listening to episode number 33, be told.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too. At truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good. Good.
You're listening to Be Told episode number 33 with a fantastic two Scotsmen, well, half a Scotsman and a Cockney hiding in Scotland, Martha and Silas Speeds. Hey, fantastic.
Silas, can I ask, mate, sorry, how did you find the university? Because the universities in Scotland are struggling, aren't they, at the moment?
Oh, they are, yeah. Well, I just graduated college there and, well, basically all the universities were coming in and essentially saying to us, as long as you've got a pulse, you'll get in, because they're struggling for...
Yeah, Dundee was virtually bankrupt. My wife works for Edinburgh University and they're struggling. They're laying people off.
All the colleges are the same as well. Yeah, the lecturer said to us, he said, if you want your free education, he says, I'd get it now because I don't think this model is going to continue much longer. Oh, like what you're saying, essentially, they're all bankrupt.
Yeah, pretty much. And Dundee is a very good university.
Silas, what subjects are you going to partake in? Because if it's going to be history, you're going to be telling the lecturers what's what.
Not history. Commercial management, as it pertains to construction.
Ooh, that's awesome, man. So you can become a manager on a building site and help run it and make a lot of money. I'll tell you right now, they do make a lot of money.
They do make a few bob, as we say.
Well, there's all sorts of different angles you can get. Do you have to do what's that one when you do the adding and subtracting of all the materials used? The what's that called?
Quantity surveying, quantification.
Is this quantity surveying as well, or is it?
Quantity surveying as well. I'm looking to eventually become probably a chartered surveyor. So.
Fantastic.
But the thing is, if I was to move to the US, that isn't actually a profession over there, so it may not turn out to pursue that line. But they do have cost controllers, like project cost controllers, so I could do that in the US or anywhere out with the Commonwealth.
Well, I deal in my business with kind of hot, every now and then with this particular builder I work for. And I get to talk to architects and quantity surveyors that come around and stuff. And I always say to them, how on earth can you factor in, say that, because they come onto a job as it's finished and I'm there to do the very final part to make the job look like it meant to in their vision of an architect, that this is what the house meant to look like, removing all the paint and gunk off everything. And so I get to talk to them and I always say, you've got this job that you're just, it's going to be finished, that you've given this guy, the builder friend of mine, in 2 years' time, a job. How can you accurately say it's going to cost this when the price of materials in the next 6 months could be 30% more? And he said, we just factor that in. And I'm like, that baffles me that you can do that. Oh, did I just drop out?
Yes, he had duty calls, as they said.
Oh, that was, what's his name, disappeared. Martha's gone off, which is fantastic, because he said he had to go in 10 minutes, so good on. Yeah, no, I don't, it's beyond me how apparently you factor in rising of costs of, and we're talking about things like brackets on cupboards or, just tiny things that can go up because the supply through COVID we lost about a year and a half or 2 years of building infrastructure, supplies. So everything was running behind. So it's obviously a very talented degree that you have to do. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, there's a lot of contracts and such within it. So essentially everything will be based around the contract. And if you can either choose the correct contract or tailor the correct contract, then it obviously helps and factoring in and controlling the costs throughout the project.
All right, well that, which is absolutely fantastic to know all these things, but we'll move on to more esoteric subjects because of
exactly.
if you, but that's, I'm glad to hear that you've got a goal and a plan, which is fantastic because you've got to keep functioning. You cannot just sit there dwelling on the negative, which is I've just been talking about it for the last hour. The media reports of what's happening and everything, and it's like if I'd bothered 30 years ago, I'd be a multi-millionaire now because I would not have listened to all the negative stuff that I was listening to from, be it books or, there weren't podcasts, there were groups you'd go to and you'd see something about Rosicrucian this and you'd go off and look into that. And I just got baffled with the esoteric. And so financially, yeah, I'm all right. But I'm not doing what I should have done, is invest into the future, which I do think everyone needs to do. I'm going to have to say that. But what do you think, what's going on in America? Silas speaks now. What can you see with Donald Trump and his Middle Eastern schmozzles?
Well, I see basically a return of the Great Powers era just prior to World War One, and essentially the entangling alliances. I think that's what they're gradually working their way to. Of course, they've already opened up a flashpoint, a military flashpoint, with the Russo-Ukraine war in Europe. So you've got the theatre of Europe. Then, of course, you've just had the 12-day war of the theatre, and that's opened up the theatre within the Middle East.
But was it 12 days?
I think that's what they're calling it, the 12-day war. Which itself is very esoteric, you know, the zodiac.
That's a double of the Six-Day War when they had it back in the day.
Exactly.
So they can't help themselves, though. They cannot help themselves. It's always going to be numbers and the same. It's the same old, repeat, rinse and repeat. Do you see Donald Trump staying in power, or do you think he's going to be moved off in the next 6 months, which is what a lot of people are suggesting?
I see him staying for the full tenure of the presidency. That's why I see. Because I think they require him, and ultimately what they require for him is not necessarily the geopolitical wranglings throughout the world. What he is required for is to keep the conservatives basically docile so that they can push through all of this Project Stargate, all of the AI infrastructure. The AI thing is the most important thing in terms of their agenda.
Do you know about it's called 201 Brigade. Is it 201 Brigade or 201 Regiment or whatever? They've just struck medals They're given all of the heads of the AI and social media groups lieutenant colonel status to go straight into the American military to run this new operation. And it's basically, who mentioned it? It was Melissa Watt is doing a show with this Indian guy that's doing this thing about technocracy. And he sent her the link. I'll go on to and read you. I mean, have you heard of 201 Brigade? Which is very interesting that they would use that number again.
I think I have. It's the 201st. It's a type of, what do they call it? I forget the acronym now. It's EMIB, and that, that stands for electronic warfare or something. I forget the actual acronym.
I'm just going to give you the using my low talents of what did I put it onto? I put it onto conspiracy theories. Boom. Detachment 201. They actually call themselves Detachment 201, not Attachment, Detachment 201. It is also known as Executive Innovation Corps. It is a United States Army Reserve Group formed by of U.S. technology executives directly commissioned to the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. Now, the guy that does Technocracy Inc., Patrick Wood, he said this is unprecedented. He's never heard, he cannot believe how big this is. Now, Patrick Wood's been around for a long time. And for him to say that, I thought, I should look into this. The Army's stated purpose is of the initiative is to fuse cutting edge tech expertise with military innovation by recruiting senior tech executives to serve. I can keep going, but there's something big about this. The fact that they're giving them lieutenant. These guys are non-military. These are just basically your tech people, the AI people. I'll finish off. A statement by United States Army made on social media said the group, in brackets, quotation marks rather, will work on targeted projects to help guide rapid and scalable tech solutions to complex problems, end of quotation marks, in order to make the force leaner, smarter, and more lethal. This is Wikipedia. More lethal. The initial group of executives sworn into it on June the 13th includes Facebook parent company Meta Platform, CTO Andrew Bosworth, current and former OpenAI executives Kevin Weil, W-E-I-L, and Bob McGrew, and Palantir Technologies CTO Shyam Shankar, who's Indian, obviously. What do you think about that, Solar Speaks?
Yeah, they're essentially... But what they're essentially doing is they're building to this AI super state, if you will. And and it's the perfection of the soul trap, if you were to look at it esoterically.
I think that too. I agree with you. It sounds identical to it.
But as well, they're also using this sort of contrived geopolitical tension and technological arms race with China to... also, in essence, provide the quote-unquote national security reason to accelerate all of this without any sort of controls or safety or anything like that. Because when you look at the linear trajectory currently of China's AI research, of course, they're going to reach AGI far before the US at current trends, unless, of course, the US does this. So this technological arms race will allow the proliferation of this technology globally, which will eventually all coalesce into the one system. It'll be done under the guise of, well, we need to ensure that AI isn't fighting AI. So we'll all just merge all of our algorithms, all of our AI models into the one super model. And then, of course, that'll facilitate the algocratic, the rule by algorithm system that they desire globally.
I've never heard that word before, but algocratic is brilliant because that's the way it is, yeah.
Also, looking at the more esoteric side of this, you can see it with, for example, Palantir. Palantir itself, that name is from Lord of the Rings,
funnily enough.
And I believe in the Quencia, which is sort of the Mordor tongue in Tolkien's universe, Palantir means all-seeing. So Palantir, they were the orbs. Remember the Lord of the Rings movie? The orbs that Sauron would use to sort of, you know, extend his sight. That's exactly what it's pertaining to.
Well, that was because if you saw Lord of the Rings and you saw the imagery of that all-seeing eye with Sauron, Christopher Lee, just this giant glowing all-seeing eye on top of a giant pillar. So it's the same logo as the Egyptians used back in the day to control their public. Same imagery everywhere. Everything about Palantir is Lord of the Rings, though. I think that the guy that founded them brags about it. He said, you know, it was his favorite book or whatever. But there's more nefarious intent for sure. Keep talking, man. You're fascinating stuff.
Well, the four founders of Palantir as well are all, well, they're all dual citizens, American and Israel. Also as well, Sam Altman, the founder of OpenAI, plus Peter Thiel and all of the various backers of OpenAI, which are they're the primary AI developers for not just the US military, but also the US in terms of its civic base as well. They're all dual citizens too, Israel, American. So it's the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in that regard.
If you'd come on a bit earlier, I've been talking about the foundation of Zionism and who it was. Alan Watts did a show in 2007 where he said that the elites of Britain said that they were going to bring in the Jew to help achieve our goals because of their background and their knowledge, and we're going to use this for the future. And the Lord Balfour, who was the mayor, was he the mayor or the prime minister? I think he was the prime minister. He said that when we created when we put Israel into the Middle East, we created another Ulster. We've created a new Ulster in the Middle East. As Ulster was to Israel, to Ireland, Israel is to the Middle East. It was like a very small group of people that did not get on with anyone surrounding them. And they've, if you look at the maps now, they've now taken over. So this whole thing, I do believe it's, to me, the British elite groups of the 200, 300, 400 years ago are the ones really controlling stuff. That's what I think. I could be wrong. What do you think? Who do you see as the bosses of all bosses up there?
I believe it goes even beyond Israel and even the British. But I do think it must have some sort of Abrahamic, but a mystery religion, a Kabbalistic Abrahamic tone.
Brahman and Abrahamic, very similar. The top of India. I've always said there's some area of the Himalayas. You keep seeing in all the Marvel movies with the, what's his name, the magician guy that it's always India. There's always some kind of area in the high mountains that the Theosophists always went on about as well, nonstop. They call them the Great White Brotherhood, Great White Brotherhood, which is above everything. And the more I read into the English elites, all their good stuff comes from that area of, well, I say Himalaya, Nepal, Tibet, whatever. There's something up that way that control stuff. What do you think?
I'm currently writing a book actually on the origins of the conspiracy from there, going back to, well, officially the Copper Age, you know, 3000, 4000 BC. But a lot of Indian historians, even both contemporary and historical Indian historians, state that Mount Kalani, which is Shiva's mountain, which you see that sort of echoed within Yahweh in the Old Testament. He came from three mountains in Edom. So you again, they're all of the lords of the earth are.
With this form of CERN, the fact they use CERN and Switzerland, or they call the name CERN as part of this. But you're listening to Detail 33. Very good show.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Yeah. I'm echoing. Okay. Thank you for telling me. How long has that been going on for?
Since I've joined. Oh, I didn't want to. I was trying to let you know.
Always tell me, because when you say echoing, because it does happen. I don't know how to stop it, though. That's the only problem. Well, you keep talking and I'll stop echoing. There you go.
Oh, no, it's echoing when I'm speaking. I didn't know if it was affecting your, I didn't know if it was affecting your recording, though.
Well, put it this way, there's no echo from my end. And usually if I hear it, I would tell you. So could be from your end if you're listening on a different.
It may be.
So far, so good. So you keep talking anyway. This is very interesting stuff. So you're writing a book, which is even more fantastic. And now, how many have you done, though? You've done a few. What number are you up to?
I'm up to six, but this one will have to be divided into probably three volumes, so I'll be at nine after this.
Wow, fantastic. There's a there. Number nine. Good stuff. So we'll discuss your book and what are your intents and findings that would be in this new book that's coming out. Just chat away.
Well, essentially, it's a sort of carry-on, from a follow-on from the recent book that I've just released there called The Golden Age of Saturn's America. And when you look at Saturn and Kronos and the lords of the earth, the gods of this world, right, as the New Testament calls it, that Satan or the devil, that when you trace it all the way back, the belief is that within the Indian historians, both historical and contemporary, that the world religion at one point was called Isvarism. And Isvarism was the worship of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is literally the aspect of destruction, but creative destruction.
So that's why I mentioned CERN, because the statue of Shiva is in the foyer of the CERN entry.
Yeah. It's also the reason for the Masonic Ordo Ab Chaos. Order out of chaos.
And it's basically a blue woman with lots of arms, with knives everywhere, cutting people's heads off. That's to summarise Lord Shiva.
That's Mahakala, and that gets into another aspect of this too. Essentially, with the AI thing, esoterically, and in a sort of symbolic manner, right? What they believe is that the divine feminine is locked in matter. Now, what is the divine feminine? To them, the divine feminine would be sort of the transcendent spark within man. And they believe, materially, they can coax that out of its glacial tomb of matter by AI. This is why, for example, you look at the electrical circuits of microchips and, even to this point, nanochips, right, or whatever they're using. You see in this sort of electrical city, you see sigils which look almost uncannily like that of the Lesser Keys of Solomon, what he would use to control and imprison demons or principalities.
The 72 demons of whatever it was, the 72. Well, Dave J's bring very similar stuff up, so keep going. It's very interesting.
And also another strange thing as well, when you look at the digital technology and even the informational age and all of the technologies surrounding it, what you actually find, interestingly, is that when you break it all down, no pun intended, essentially these technologies are, you take mineral rock You break it down. You fashion it into digital sigils, material sigils. Then you charge it with the energy of the gods, the energy of the heavens, which is lightning, electricity. You see it with the name electricity, electricity.
Yep.
And then you demand that it thinks on your behalf. So it's interesting when you get into the ideas of Harari, where they honestly believe that they're going to create an internet of all things and everyone will be merged almost in a bio-digital convergence scenario with this blockchain inventory system. I mean, even has it there, the blockchain and Saturn and the cube.
It's everything about everything that they use, particularly block and chain, sounds to me like bad. There's nothing good about block and chain to me. It's slavery. It was a method of holding onto a human being by putting him on a block and chain back in the day. Now we're doing it digitally, so there's a guarantee that they're there. That just the terms they're using, that you should be able to see that and see that as a bad thing. If you've got an open mind, that is, of course. Keep going. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, you're not. No, that, absolutely. It's totally on point. But another thing to mention as well, they don't use the ball and chain because, of course, the sphere or the circle is the perfect, well, it's the heavenly symbol, isn't it? It's that which is perfect. It has no corners, right angles, sides. They use the block and chain because the idea is what they're attempting to communicate with that in a emblematic manner is that Saturn, the demiurge, the lesser god of the material world, will assume kingship over this world and perhaps, according to Harari, the entire galaxy. And so, of course, remember, Kronos was also known as Kronos Anglometes. Anglometes is a Greek word where it's the root of where we get our term angle from, right? Which essentially means crooked in Greek. So literally, Kronos, the crooked one or the deceiver, the father of conspiracies.
Wow. And angle has been, you can see angel as well with the angle. There's, you know, very easily bring an angel and angle, very similar words, very similarly spelt rather. And there's obviously a there, I would say. I'm not sure what it is, but.
Absolutely.
You just keep talking, man. And look, I cannot hear echo, so hopefully that's getting recorded as you're speaking.
Well, you're totally on point. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's the, well, we have electricity. And then, of course, we also have Elohim, which is the Hebrew for angel.
Yeah.
And you don't find in Genesis 1, I believe it appears in Genesis 2, but you don't find in Genesis 1 where all of the world is, or all of the singularity, the pure potential prior to Genesis is cleaved in twain. You know, the light and the dark, the waters above, the waters below, so on and so forth.
Up and up and below, above and below, it's all, you know, opposites.
Exactly. When the opposites were created, it was the Elohim that did it. It wasn't Yahweh Elohim. He appears in Genesis 2. But you only see Elohim within Genesis 1, at least the Hebrew Bibles that I'm reading. So the Elohim itself is almost akin to the Archons. It's literally the rulers of this world. You see them crop up again in Deuteronomy 32, verses 8 to 9, and a couple of others. Psalm 82, I believe, as well, where it makes this allusion to the fact that you have El Elyon, the Most High God, and then you have his 88 sons, which were the Elohim.
Yep.
So these are the angels, the angels, the rulers of a specific side, as, of course, you would have. With angles, right? They comprise the body.
Yep. Yeah, fascinating stuff, man. Absolutely fascinating. You still there?
Every
now and then, because I'm just kind of used to when, if someone disappears, honestly, the amount of times I've been having an intelligent conversation and I get kicked off my own platform or wherever I am, and because I can't hear anything. So, yeah, you just keep talking, because you're doing some really interesting stuff here, Silas, as usual. And thank you for turning up on your 33rd episode of Rick and Roller. Be told, sorry.
No coincidence. No coincidence.
No,
it was all planned.
Fantastic. Do you see, like, when I look at all these things and I see, first you see the word El, you know, it's God, and Israel, El is Isis, Ra, and El, which is the triple triumvirate of the three gods. The fact that the talking about Maori before, the god of the sun was Ra, R A. That's the Maori. Now they allegedly came from Waiaki, which is the Hawaiian Islands, 700 or 800 years ago. They use Ra for God, or sun, the sun. How could this be? Other than the fact that they're all coming from the same areas, because Ra is an incredibly important deity to them, and the sun is the deity to, you know, look at basically every religion you've got the sun, S-O-N, S-U-N, Apollo, and we see Apollo non-stop with NASA, non-stop Apollo. That's what they call their main missions to the moon. Everything seems to come from the same area, and all tribes of the different cultures of the earth have very similar things, which I've picked up on over the years. You see this, obviously, where you are. You can see, you know, the odds of a small tribe of Polynesians also calling the sun Ra, it's R-A, and it just fits in with everything else. Everything kind of connects. Would you agree? I would say you did. Do.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's because, like what the Indian historians mentioned, Manubik will detail this with the Asuras, but in essence, there was a world religion at one point, and it diffused across the entirety of the planet. And essentially what you're seeing with every other religion known to man now that has been, or is still extant, or was extant in the past, since that time, since that precursor collapse, then that geophysical event that is sometimes spoken of in all of the cross-cultural myths, be it a deluge or a baptism via fire, that essentially all of these sects are from the same one religion, the same mother religion, which of course is now forgotten. It was probably some worship of Shiva. It was the worship of the material of earth and time. And there was, interestingly, if you read Philo and his now lost work, The Phoenician History, but it's, funnily enough, Philo is actually, in this section I'll read here, he is in fact, in his lost work, quoting a priest, a Phoenician priest, I forget the Phoenician priest's name now, but this appears within Eusebius's Preparatio Evangelica, which was from the 4th century. He was a Christian historian, and he mentions that, quote, "For Cronos, or Saturn, whom the Phoenicians call Israel." So, you know, massive bombshell that, and that's from Eusebius Preparatio Evangelica, Book 1, Chapter 10.
Isis, Ra, and El, they're all three gods.
Yeah.
That word is not the word.
Sorry, jumping, man, I interrupted.
No, I'm just saying Isis, Ra, and El. the triumvirate. It's the three gods. It's their thing. And that's why you see ISIS, the space station. It's called International Space Station for a good reason. IS. It's the same thing. And then Ra, sun. El, god. I think Ra was also Egyptian. Was Ra an Egyptian description?
Yeah, Ra was the sort of supreme, yeah, ultimate deification of the sun.
Yeah, well, interesting that all these weird coincidences, like even the Aboriginals have the same myths, you know, the myths are not, that great book, I think it's, I forget his name, David someone or other, who does, he explains the sky, the star patterns as being all your history, all your backstories of the universe, all your creation myths all come from the stars and the sun and the moon. I think Isis is the moon, or am I wrong? Is Isis?
Isis is essentially the moon. Yeah, it's the mother of the Matrix, if you were to look at it that way.
Yeah. It's nonstop. Once you understand the stuff, everything just fits in and perfectly. But to me, it's the India. Something about India that says to me that's where the highest powers are. In your humble esteem or opinion, where are the big boys? Are they in that area, or where are they? Who's running this stuff?
Well, it's funny because the Indians actually make allusions to this precursor group called, firstly the Asuras, but there was a group within the Asuras called the Sadak. And literally, in its anglicized form, Sadak.
Right.
And the Sadak, in Sanskrit, literally means those who have supernatural powers or the supernatural ones. It can also mean the righteous ones. But interestingly, that same term also, even perhaps the same meaning really, that crops up within the Zohar and Kabbalah as the Zadik. And it's stated that after the great final redemption, only the Zadik, which literally translates as the righteous ones, but it could be, you know, the supernatural ones as well, as Harari would call them, the Homo Deus. They will be in control. That's according to their eschatology.
That was the name of his book. Harari's book was Homo Deus.
Yes.
He seems to know stuff, and he seems to be awfully well. And he said that if you think you're going to have original thought in the future, no, you're not. We'll control your thoughts. We'll control your emotions. We'll control everything. He seems to know stuff. And when I say know it, he Noah Harer, you know, there's a there. He seems to know what he's talking about. And I haven't read the book. Have you read his book?
Homo Deus? Yeah, I've read all of them, bar the new one, Nexus.
Nexus, yeah. What's Nexus about? That fascinates me. I didn't even know that.
I'm unsure, actually. I haven't actually even picked up or looked at it yet. But I'll need to get it.
Well worth looking into. Anything the guy says seems to be awfully prescient into your future. And AI, look, I don't know how much you would agree with this, but I'm suggesting that this whole AI, which is 19 numerically, is there to stop your mind working. If you want to summarize something and do this and do that, and you're going to use someone else's opinions, basically, your brain is not going to function in the future. if you're going to choose to make an AI statement or get AI to read something or other, why not you learn why don't you use your God-given mind to analyze a statement rather than get, you're listening to, I believe, another break, Betold 33.
No matter what your age.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Well, I'm not getting, so you're listening to Rick and Silas Speaks, one fantastic show on the episode number 33 on the 1st of July, 2025. Silas Speaks, you just keep talking because as long as you're not echoing, because you do not echo to me, everything sounds fine. So hopefully Joel's recording equipment is putting this out good. And if not, we'll have to do something because this is really crucial information. Crucial information from Silas Speaks all the way in Scotland, all the way from Scotland, and Rick's all the way in Australia, upside down with kangaroos hopping about. Yes, they are, guaranteed. So Silas Speaks, keep talking about your interesting things. It'll be at old.
So another thing to mention is that whenever you see data centers, well, firstly, let's talk about the AI, right? So AI is obviously, in its anglicized symbolic form, it's AI. So the I. And of course, you see it with the likes of, you know, the reverse of the Great Seal of the USA. Now, this is why you know it's actually speaking about Shiva, because it states that Anuit Coeptus, Novus Ordo Seclorum, that sort of infamous phrase, Anuit Coeptus is he who favors our undertaking, or he favors our undertaking. So firstly, it's sort of alluding to or denoting a male figure, and then that he favors things. One of the epithets for Shiva was the auspicious one, which means he is favorable to oneself. He provides benefits and favors. So that is that's the first allusion to Shiva. Then you have the new order of the ages. The ages obviously relate to the world ages and Kabbalah and essentially the final redemption, as they call it. You see it on the world tarot card. Essentially, you'll have four seasons of the world ages, which roughly go the entirety of the processional years, which is, or the processional year rather, which is 26,000 years, normal tropical Earth years. And the final one is Aquarius. So that's where we're going to, essentially, we're about 150 years or so off it, according to official.
So 1968, you got this movie, musical, Hair, came out of nowhere. And the biggest song of that song was the Age of Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension. The Fifth Dimension. Another, there's a there with that one. So you're saying it's 150 years away? It's not, we're entering it, but it's 150 years away from me and you talking right now.
The official demarcation point, but really whenever you find these transitions to other world ages, so for example, Aries to Pisces, you had all of these calamitous events that occurred. Of course, you had the death of Christ. He was quite literally the Aryan sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God who was sacrificed upon the four elements, the crucifix. He was the fifth element, which is an allusion to, of course, the four elements constrict and bind, you know, almost like some sort of, shackle. It binds the spirit, the fifth element, the element that isn't actually of this mortal plane.
Just
the eternal aspect of oneself.
By coincidence, you noticed there was that French science fiction movie that also had another guy that keeps popping up in Hollywood all the time, that starred in the Die Hard, Bruce Willis, The Fifth Element, which was a good movie, but there's a there with the fact they've reused that to get that into your head, Fifth Element.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Like,
And then, and of course, as well, the Aquarius, the water bearer. Whenever you see in Kabbalah, actually, this goes for really any Western esotericism because it all derives from the Kabbalah. Whenever you see water or water being poured out from a vessel, you also see it on the 17th card of the Trump Tarot, which is, pardon me, the Tarot, the Major Arcana, not the Trump Tarot, where you see the stars.
Crowley's Tarot versus the normal Tarot, different. Do you know the difference between Crowley's version of the Tarot and you just called said the Trump Tarot? Is there, how many versions of the Tarot there?
Oh, there are a lot. I tend to use the Rider Waite, which also switches around judgment and temperance. There's a few other changes that it makes in terms of the symbolism, but I tend to use that just because it's the most popular. So if it's the most popular, it means it's popular for a reason. They want people to have this sort of perception of the symbolism. And of course, the perception itself is what they use to project the virtual reality that they require onto the world itself. Something else to mention with Aquarius is that it is the 11th astrological sign. So from now until basically the Aquarian age and a little bit after, you're going to have this overlapping of transitionary calamity, essentially. It's a bit like what you see within the crucible. There's a reaction that takes place. And then from that, you have this red rubedo in alchemy, this reddened steel, this tempered steel that comes from that. And of course, it's quenched.
Iron Man that was used heavily in the media with the Avengers, he got killed. The Iron Age ended, you know, when Iron Man died. And exactly. Iron Man is very red. Yeah. So there's
And also another thing to mention on the iron, you have the Golden Dome in the USA. That's the new idea based from, you know, the great mind of Trump and his advisors, and of course the scriptwriters themselves, where they will create a similar counter-missile battery system or defense system that will be called the Golden Dome, similar to Israel's Iron Dome.
Yeah.
So you have the Golden Age falling to the Iron Age, another allusion to that, right? A little nod. You also have the Golden Age of America, called by Trump, who is the Golden Dawn. And then as well, on Aquarius, the symbolism of the water being poured, the water is the current of information. It's the waters of life, which is the information that is being poured from the vessel out onto the world, similar to the informational age, the digital age. It's all surrounding the Aquarian age. Aquarius traditionally is also under the sign of Saturn. It's the 11th sign as well. The 11, if you look at 11 symbolically, and this is the reason for the Twin Towers, it's the reason, by the way, for the idea of the twins with literally it mean in Sanskrit, it means Yama. And Yama is the controller of the wheel of samsara, which is similar to how Kabbalah view this world and basically every Gnostic or Western esoteric tradition. The 11 itself is different from the 10. The reason they had 9-11 is because it skips over the 10, which is the beginning and the end, the 1 and the 0. The 11 itself is the 1 and the 1. It's the perpetuation of the artificial realm of matter. That's what it's alluding to. Whenever you see 11, that's the reason for it being in both Hindu and Gnosticism, essentially. As well, it's considered the most evil number, or two as well is considered an evil number as well. But of course, 11.
11 being the K in the alphabet as well. So whenever you see K, that's 11.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when I'll just interrupt a little bit. But when I first woke up to all this stuff about 10 years ago or whatever, this stuff, we were going heavy esoteric. I was noticing that when I drove on the freeway between me and Sydney, the winner is Sydney. I was driving at 90, 90, 90. All of a sudden it goes into 11, 11, 11. As you're driving, it's these big 11s on the side of the road. And all anyone that drives the biggest and most busiest freeway from north to south in Australia sees 9s and 11s all the time. And you actually drive through them, and I'm always on about this, that when you're driving, you are driving in your subconscious. You are not in your real person. You are just subconsciously driving, and you're getting 9s and 11s as you're driving down this massive freeway. And I picked up on that. So it's a very important thing. Very important thing. Keep going. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it will always miss out that 10. The 10 is essentially, it's the stepping off of the wheel. You do one rotation round the board, effectively, and then you step off. And another thing to mention, too, is that and we were mentioning the sort of trinity. So you have Isis, Ra, and El. Now, you have the same thing with the creation myth in Norse mythology. And I'll just pick this one out, but essentially it's the same throughout every single mythology. You will always have this trinity that begins things, that cleaves in twain, you know, that which is in potential, and it cleaves it into energy, into actual visible, perceivable world. Isis, Ra, and El. So Isis, it literally means, it's from the Kemetic word Aset, which means the throne. So the throne as well also links to Cassiopeia. By the way, there's a little infographic I can send you, but if you look at the first rite, the first Masonic rite, and see how they pull up these precisely and very meticulously and specifically pull up certain garments and expose certain certain anatomy. The reason for that is if you overlay the shape, the W shape of Cassiopeia over where they have actually, exposed, their left breast, or they've exposed their knees or their elbows, it lines up precisely with Cassiopeia. That's one instance of that, and it's throughout all of the various esoteric rites. You'll see little allusions to Cassiopeia. And by the way, it's the reason why the Blue Lodge is 3 degrees. It's hinting at this trinity. Everything begins with the trinity. So you will have Ra, that's the sun of consciousness, that links to, of course, Odin within Norse mythology. And then you have El, which links to Vili, in Norse mythology, which we would call Will. El even sounds like Will as well, just without the W. You could have the Well, right? And then you have Isis, the throne, Cassiopeia, literally the enclosure, which is the etymological root of paradise, which is from the Persian paradesh, which is enclosure, orchard, grove. But something that's confined basically in ourself, that would link to the boundaries that we have regarding the self and the ego. I'm distinct from you because this is me. I am I and you are you. So it's that sort of boundary aspect. So those three aspects is essentially what makes us distinct from death, right? From the long sleep of death, which is potential without any movement, without any self-awareness. It's unconscious. It's unmanifest. So that's what the Trinity means. And it's deeper esoteric aspect. If you ever, find yourself getting into the mystery religions. But
Look, I just see the Trinity everywhere. The Matrix movie had Trinity as the female heroine. No, there's a there. But Trinity was and I'm not going to watch it. I've got no interest in watching it, but the latest version of the Matrix, Trinity comes back and saves Neo. As you know, so everything that we're seeing and what you're talking about has been represented in your mainstream TV movie or Hollywood or whatever, and Hollywood being the staff of the of witchcraft for the wand. Everything you're saying, I can hear it and see it fitting in with everything I believe. So keep talking, Silas. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh no, you're totally correct. You're absolutely on point. And there was some, well, just on the Matrix, I've posted something there. But just finally, the hexagram itself is actually an allusion to this Trinity. So the upward pointing triangle is obviously the phallus. That is the will. The downward pointing chalice, the womb, is that, which, by the way, that's what Matrix means. I believe JLB brought it up in a recent FACO conversation I was having with him. And it was, I never really thought about this, but the Matrix from Latin literally means breeding female. You have the mater, Matrix. But in later Latin, it meant womb. It was relating to the womb.
Wow.
So the Matrix itself, the downward facing chalice, the vessel, the sephira, which is what that means in Kabbalah, Hebrew, that is what collects the water from above.
Wow.
It's what receives. So it's the moon itself, the feminine, water, they're all tied into basically that Isis or Aset, the throne, the world itself, the vivarium. And in the middle point, which we can't really see, but is implied by the two triangles establishing that confines in between, is what obviously produces the sun of consciousness, the consciousness itself within the material world. So you have the Trinity there, Israel. It's also, by the way, it's also found with the triangle. So this is the reason for the Saturn Moon Matrix. The two columns, Boaz and Yakin, are in essence the entrance and exit way to and from this world, which is the moon. And then, of course, you have the sun or Saturn. Both of them are synonymous within Babylonian tradition, which is where all of this derives from, Kabbalah and Abrahamism, you could say, and that. And then earlier on from Babylon, earlier on, it was derived from India and the Asuras. The middle pillar of what's called Da'at or knowledge links with the sun or Saturn. Obviously, if you were to look at those three pillars from a bird's eye view, it's inferred more in terms of a Masonic symbolism. The three columns are actually a triangle. And this is what Kabbalah also calls itself, the three column system. It states that no less than three or four times within the Zohar, it calls itself the three column system. So that's what this all really relates to. And we were talking about the AI. I'll just read this out really quickly and I'll let you jump in, man. In terms of Saturn or Kronos or Aleister Crowley and John Dee called it Charonzom, literally the dweller in the abyss, or from the Enochian language, Kor means to count. So it's the counter within the abyss, essentially. But his letters were Ayin, well, the devil's letters as well, were Ayin, Capricorn, that was the zodiacal sign. Saturn, it was linked with that, obviously, that planet. It was said to sit on the black throne. It was said to be the dweller of the abyss, all of this, right? So it's basically the false source.
It is false source. And doesn't the queen sit on a black cube or something? There's something about her throne. Elizabeth, Charles's mother, sat on some kind of rock that was, they said it was a meteorite that they found. It was in Scotland, it could have been, I'm not sure. But there's a there with what you're talking about here with the British royal throne being on. You're listening to, unbelievably, the 33rd episode of Rick and Roy.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Listening to the most important show that's ever been on the Be Told show. I never said Rick and Rollo, which is one just rolls off my tongue, guaranteed. We've got Silas Speaks and Rick on episode number 33 of Be Told on the 1st of July 2025. And Silas has just knocked out of the park all sorts of amazing stuff. So, Silas, keep speaking. And you're doing amazing stuff, and hopefully it's not echoing and we can put it out as a normal show. It will come out in the next few days, Be Told.
I think you're referring to, just before we went to the break, you were referring to Jacob's Pillowstone, or also the Stone of Destiny.
Well, apparently she's sitting, King Charles, KC, 311, is sitting on a throne that has a special rock underneath it that they found many, many years ago. So do talk, Silas, do talk.
Absolutely, yeah. And you also, typically, this is what's known as the Beit Ellis stone, or the Beit El stone, literally the house of God from the Semitic language. Obviously, the Kaaba has a black meteorite in it. Elagabalus, which is, he was arguably the most, we could say eccentric to be very polite, but absolutely nefarious and a crazed Roman emperor to ever be. He wasn't Roman himself. He was actually from the Levant, from Phoenicia.
Can you spell his name for those out there that have not heard of his name before?
ELAGABALUS.
Wow.
Elagabalus.
Wow.
And it literally means, in the Phoenician tongue, Baal of the sun. Like, literally, that's what it roughly translates to. So it's the sun Baal. But the sun as well, remember, within the sort of Semitic and Mesopotamian idea, is very much linked to Saturn.
Yeah.
But Saturn and the sun being reflections of one another, one being the black sun, one being the actual golden sun, hence the distinction between the golden age and the iron age.
Yep.
But he would typically, I think it was every year, it was every 6 months, I forget when now, I had some notes on it. Elagabalus built this grand temple in Rome to Elagabal, his patron deity, and he would be at the head of a chariot of six steeds. He would be the seventh point, the charioteer holding the reins of the six. By the way, this is an allusion to Saturn. Saturn is the seventh planet holding the reins of the other six in classical astronomy.
That Baal is always in their names. There's always a Baal in there, or Al, Baal, whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And this links, the Baal itself links back to Marduk or Amaru, who was called either Bel Marduk or Bel Amaru. And, of course, that means master or lord. And, of course, we were talking about Ishvarism. Well, Ishvar or Ishvar in Sanskrit literally means the lord. So that was the world religion at one point, the worship of Ishvar Shiva or Lord Shiva. So it always goes back to the Lord.
So this is prior to the flood, because this flood thing is everywhere in every different culture. There's always a massive water event, you know, whatever. Is this prior to that you would say this Baal character was always, or Al character? is always about.
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so. I'm still working it out, really. But ultimately, it seems that every half cycle, so after two world ages, you will typically have some sort of geophysical event. So you will go from, I actually have an illustration, I'll post it, but you basically go from, if we were to say we're to start at Scorpio, you'll go from Scorpio down to Leo. So that's from the Iron Age to the Golden Age. And then you'll go from Taurus, which is the Iron Age, up to obviously Aquarius, which is the Golden Age in there, the way they view it. So the technological heights of modernity once more, and then the cycles will begin anew. You will go back to Scorpio, which is the sign of death, the sign of the end. You see it at the end of IPET GOAT 2. And then you will furthermore begin the cycle once more from the Golden Age to the Iron Age.
Have you seen, well, obviously you have, IPET GOAT, the animation thing. Who did it? Mm-hmm. Why did they do it? And what was in it? It was, I'm watching it and I'm just going, oh my goodness. You know, it's like literally this has got so much stuff in it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I started a breakdown of IPET GOAT 2, would have been about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
I think I'm only about 20 seconds through it and I already have 30 pages of notes. So it's absolutely chocked full of things.
Unbelievable. And when I first saw it, because I saw it about 10 years ago, about 10 years ago it came out, and or thereabouts, or maybe a bit more. And I was like going, whoa. I mean, it was just so, registered conspiracy theorist, I was going, oh my goodness, there is so much stuff being put into your brain by this animation. And who did it? Do you know?
Well, his name is Heliophant at the end, which of course is a composite word of Helio, which is the sun, Helios, and Hierophant, which is the conveyor of the sacred, quite literally, the keeper of the secrets, the shore of the secrets. So, yeah.
Highly recommend.
Basically,
watch it. Watch IPET GOAT YouTube. Do yourself a favor and then try and analyze it. Because it is out there.
I would say as well that the sort of material, tangible interpretation, that is there. That's there. And there is a geopolitical interpretation to it all. But I think there's a far more deeper esoteric interpretation, which essentially is like Heliophant. It's linking to the solar cycle, the soul, which is the sun in Latin. And of course, we have our soul itself, which is the sun of consciousness. So the solar cycle itself is basically the cycle of mankind's soul, which is beyond the physical vessel of the body. It's something that's eternal, and hence you have this eternal hero's journey that constantly plays out. And in essence, that's what IPET GOAT is mentioning. You'll also find IPET GOAT 2, and the 2, of course, is in the is 11. It's in the Roman numerals.
100%.
That's relating to this same idea. The goat itself is linking to the Capricorn, and you see it right at the beginning, and it's stuck in the box. Now, if you were to see the other half, the lower extremities of that goat, you would find that it is actually the sea goat. That's why the box is there. But what it's pertaining to is that the higher aspect of man, that which climbs the fatal slope, hence the goat, right, that which can climb any vertical face up to heaven, the more heavenly aspect of man, the soul will be mesmerized by the metaverse, right? The circular negative feedback loop of the new cyber reality that they will create through AI and virtual reality and all of this. And the lower aspect of man, which is the you know, locked into the abyss of the world, the darkness of the cave, that will have a box put around it, a data center put around it. All of it is, all of the data centers, the servers themselves are all boxes. They're black boxes usually.
Yeah, and it will have more draining power at the level that when they go on, they tell us you cannot use your hair dryer because it's going to change your weather pattern. But yet they can have these giant domes or boxes of whatever that are draining power beyond any draining of all powers. So yeah, sorry, Silas, I had to interrupt there.
No, you're absolutely on point, and that segues us into another interesting little tidbit to mention, and it was something that was posted recently. Yeah, here we go. Human brains use 12 watts to think, while an AI system doing the same job would need 2.7 billion watts. And basically that gets into this idea that they're actually looking to use DNA itself to produce this power that's required for their new AI system.
Yeah, totally agree, man. It just seems to be everything that I see seems to be contradicting what we've been told about power usage. You know, you can't use power, it's bad. You know, you're going to create global warming if you turn your hairdryer on. Yet, they can have an artificial system of manufacturing coinage, like, you know, Bitcoin, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. It's using huge amounts of power, huge amounts of power to do what they say is an evil thing. So we're getting two points of the sword. We're getting both points of the sword, guaranteed. Sorry, Silas, keep talking.
No, you're totally on point, yeah. Totally on point. That's
always a compliment when you say that. Always go, well, I didn't just rave off the top of my head. Yeah, no, fantastic, dude. Keep going.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, so the lower extremities of that goat, the sea goat, really, the Capricornian goat, the body itself will be locked into, it will be chained to ignorance through, obviously, the digital screens, which are the artificial suns, which is why you see people having, and I myself, I mean, I've went through bouts of this insomnia because the screen itself, the blue screen, the blue light has become the artificial sun. And of course, that links to Aquarius and the blue of the water from the vessel and all of this.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. Hey, dude, we'll wind it up because we're going to...
Yeah, man.
Me and you could talk for about another 9 million years on these subjects. So I think we've baffled enough people. Well, not baffled. I think there's a lot of people who actually will listen to this, and we have to somehow share it as, you know, something. Or you actually do yourself a favor and share this as a conversation. On yours, because you got way more people that were listening to your show.
I will do, man. Yeah, I'll link it back to TMC and that.
And try and do yourself a favor and come on next time. Maybe next week. I'm not sure. Come on and do this information stuff that you've got, because you are at a different level. Interesting stuff. So really impressed with your stuff as per usual. And we'll do another discussion on this particular subject next week. Or the week after, whenever you can turn up.
It'd probably be the week after, because I don't think my flight will get back from Portugal in time.
Okay.
So it'll probably be the week after.
when you come back from Portugal, come back and do a conversation with me on the Be Told show. Always interesting, dude. I mean, honestly, there are very few people out there that can say what you're saying or understand what you're saying. So it's always a pleasure to talk to you whenever I can. So 10 out of 10, 12 out of 10 for Silas Speaks.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. Well, jump off. You have a good one, right?
You and Silas, thank you for coming up and on the 33rd episode of Be Told. And we'll speak next week or the week after or the week after, whenever it happens.
Take it easy, mate. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
All right, man. Over and out. Bye.